Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in for the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show, as we have a full hour of Northwest Missouri State sports coming up for you as we look ahead to a big week for spring and fall sports that are playing right now during this COVID-19 season. Coming up today, we have Northwest Missouri State head track and field coach Brandon Masters, head volleyball coach Amy Wirth, head soccer coach Mark Gordon, and head baseball coach Darren Lowe. Northwest Missouri State head men's and women's tennis coach Mark Rosewell also joins us as his women's team is getting set to take on Missouri Western this afternoon here at the Frank Gruby Courts at the Mark Rosewell Tennis Center. And also, Northwest Missouri State softball is hosting Central Missouri in a doubleheader this afternoon. That starts at 1 o'clock, so before that one gets rolling, we're going to get things rolling on our coaches show right here. We have the head Bearcat softball coach Ryan Anderson to kick things off.
Well, Northwest Missouri State softball, a couple wins over the weekend, knocking off Emporia State on the Bearcat field. Unfortunately, though, Washburn, some COVID protocols, not able to come to Northwest Missouri to play that doubleheader on Saturday, but the Bearcats still a couple victories over the weekend. We have head coach Ryan Anderson with us, and coach, kind of talked before he went on, but boy, you go out, you get a sweep finally at home, and kind of feels like there could be some momentum there, a chance to get two more against Washburn, but then COVID hits, and that's just kind of the hand we've been dealt all year.
Yeah, it's, you know, she called me actually Friday morning, said they had one positive test on Wednesday, and then they retested on Friday, and there was four or five more, so she didn't expect it, didn't know where they came from, and they thought they were all past that, and so now we're stuck trying to play this 3 weeks later in the middle of the week and trying to jam some more games in there.
And it's so difficult because, you know, we think about right now in Maryville, you have the mask mandate repealed as far as public places go. Of course, places can still have it if they would like to keep it there. But fewer and fewer cases. Seems like classes are going well. But you still kind of know it's lingering there, that at some point it can still jump up and bite you and just have to be prepared for anything at this point, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've already had to, I guess, first, what, two weekends of our season were canceled because of weather. And we were more worried about COVID coming into the year. And, you know, so we've lost 8 to 10 games due to weather, and, you know, this is the first really factor we had with COVID, and, you know, we were hoping it was gone, like you said, and now it's back, and hoping this is our last batch with it, but who knows?
We look at the weekend overall to start off, a 5-4 win in the opener, 12-2 and 5 innings in the second ball game there. That had to feel good, again, getting on your home field and kind of just unleashing on Emporia State there.
No, it was, you know, the first game was, it was a tough game, you know. We couldn't, first three innings, we couldn't get on the ball. We couldn't hit. We kept rolling over the ball, and we finally had, I think, the top of the fourth or bottom of the fourth. One of our, Hannah Blackford, gets beaned, and it seemed like that kind of sparked some things. So we started hitting the ball and, you know, started swinging through it and driving it in the gaps, and, you know, we put up a few runs there. And so, you know, that kind of woke us up for the rest of that game, and then especially the second game.
For Madison to come out in the bottom of the sixth inning, some timely hitting there, a two-out RBI double. I had to feel good to see that coming from an underclassman there in a big spot.
No, it was, you know, it was really our whole team is underclassmen right now, other than, you know, a couple here and there. But, you know, we need those hits. You know, we've had some close games earlier this year that we've lost, that we've had runners in scoring position and one out, and we couldn't get it done. So, you know, having those extra opportunities with that runner at second base and a younger player coming through and getting that hit, that's what you need.
Is that big, too, to kind of battle through and just kind of give your offense another chance, another chance, another chance, and have Brett come out and, what, 3 earned runs over six innings and really kept things right there?
Yeah, she pitched what she was supposed to do. You know, she threw to get outs and did her job, and, you know, just offensively, that's where we got to support her. She's thrown well the last two or three times out, and we just haven't had the run support. We've got a couple wins here and there, but, you know, we've got to start hitting the ball, especially when we have those opportunities.
You mentioned it's a lot of underclassmen. One of the seniors, though, Caitlin Weiss, really went off in that second ball game. She finished up the first one with a save, then comes out, three at-bats, has six RBIs in game two, a 12-2 win. And, boy, is she kind of getting to that point to where she's ready to take over some games and just give her some RBI opportunities?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's what we're hoping. We had, she hit well those first two weekends, then she kind of had a dry spell. I think down in Oklahoma last weekend and even the weekend before, you know, she struggled getting a few hits here and there. But, you know, I think with those few hits, she has more opportunity or more RBIs if we're on base. You know, and this weekend, like you said, Emporia, we had runners on, and she came through. She got those hits.
They always talk about, you know, hitting is contagious, and a couple go, and then is that a matter of the mentality of the hitter, or is that in one particular game, maybe a pitcher gets a little bit out of the right mindset and starts putting some pitches in the wrong spots? How much of that is pitcher? How much of that's hitter?
Well, you know, we talk about the same thing. You know, it's contagious. You see one hitter do it and another hitter do it, and, okay, everybody starts to think they can hit. You know, on the other side, when you're facing a pitcher, it's like I think they have that, you know, scared mentality of don't give up this next hit, and then they start missing a little bit more, and, you know, now you're on them a little bit, and, you know, that's what you hope. You hope you can keep just picking away and then get those runners on and score them.
Turning around, facing Central Missouri a little bit later on this afternoon, a doubleheader. They played a few more conference games already this year. Is this one of those you kind of look at and say, all right, we're kind of coming down to where we've got a lot of games in a short amount of time. We can make up some ground on UCM right here and get the ball rolling.
Oh, definitely. UCM's a tough team right now. They got off and played their early tournaments that we didn't get, and they got that experience they needed and, you know, got those bats going that needed to get going. And so that's where we're playing catch up. So we hope that, you know, being able to play this Friday, okay, Saturday canceled, but then we'll come back on Tuesday and, you know, hopefully hitters, we can understand that's like, we know how to do this. You know, even though we're having 4 to 5 day breaks between games, we can still step out and hit the ball. So trust in what we're doing and keep going.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine, too, having warmer weather has to be pretty nice out there as well, right?
Always a positive, you know, when there's not snowflakes to deal with and frost and, you know, just sub 40 degree temperatures.
Hitting the ball doesn't make your hands feel like they're about to shatter.
We still have 30 mile an hour wind out there.
Of course.
But it's not a pleasant experience with dirt blowing in your face, but, you know, both teams have to deal with that, but at least it's 75, 80 degrees. So.
Exactly. Well, good luck today. Northwest Missouri State taking on Central Missouri at 1 o'clock as a doubleheader with the Bearcats and the Jennies coming up later today. Good luck today, Coach.
Thank you.
Ryan Anderson, Northwest Missouri State head softball coach, joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We will take a timeout and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedline. More at 660-582-4599 or pittsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
Northwest Missouri State track and field on the road this upcoming week there in the Wichita State Open coming up on Saturday. Already a couple outdoor meets under their belts. They were at Emporia State a couple weeks ago, the SBU invite just last weekend. We have head coach Brandon Masters joining us now. And Coach, it feels like we were just sitting here talking about the national championships for the indoor meets, and now all of a sudden we're into outdoors, and it's a sport that seems to come and go awful quick around here. But when you get into it, how do you make that transition for some of these athletes that have been on the indoor circuit essentially practicing since November, and now all of a sudden it's the weather's finally nice in Maryville, and you get out inside and go.
Yeah, there is a bit of a transition, no doubt, especially for our kids that were at the national championships. Many of them have not even competed yet. We'll open up a couple more this weekend, a few others the following weekend. And like you mentioned, outdoor is so fast, especially with those kids that they may not even open up for outdoor for, you know, 3 weeks in. All of a sudden, it's two more meets in MIAA, and we're done.
You have to go. It's kind of one of those of, all right, well, it's a quick turnaround. Go get your time so we can get ready for that next round, right?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, in Division II, we've got to go hit those marks. We've got a couple of people that have been chomping at the bit, and like Heba. Heba didn't have an indoor for us. She only has her outdoor, and she's on the national list in two places in 2 weeks, 400 and 200. And so she's doing well and getting herself out on the national list. But some of those guys and gals that were at the indoor championships, it may be another week before we or two before we get those marks.
And looking at the standings after the ESU relays and the SBU invite early, you can't really take any stock into that either, since everybody is kind of, you've got a few outdoor athletes and some folks that weren't doing the indoors, but so much of your bread and butter were competing for an indoor championship.
Right. With how we're ranked on a national level, we don't really look at that until a couple of weeks before our conference championship. And there will be some teams out there that, they have a lot of their conference kids or even kids that maybe didn't make the national meet or low-level national group that will be competing at this time. And so we really don't take a look at the national rankings or even what's going on in conference until a few weeks before MIAAs.
There are, I guess, maybe a few more opportunities for some underclassmen or some others to kind of step in right now and try to make a name for themselves. One of them we see over the weekend was Jonathan Carter in the high jumps, finishing fourth, setting a new PR for a young man like that to kind of come in. What's his ceiling? What are you hoping for him as the season unfolds?
Well, John has the ability to jump a lot higher than he is right now. We're working on a couple of things. It's nice. It was a low-level meet. The high jump wasn't stacked. We're not seeing kind of the MIAA studs out there right now. So John coming in and having if you talk to him, he's upset with his weekend, and honestly, we left a few bars on the table. But, getting those guys the opportunity to compete, maybe have some success, maybe finish in the top five, that's a good deal. It's a confidence booster, no doubt, for these guys.
One of those guys that had the energy level up, Prince Griffin coming out, finishing second in the 400. Kalen's one of those guys that's been in the indoor and making that transition outdoor right now, too. But for Prince, a young man like that, to come out and perform well and still not reach that PR, it's still a little bit lower there at 48+. But is he a young man you kind of see he's starting to hit his stride?
Yeah, Prince is he does all the work. He's a great kid. He works hard. I thought he was on pace for a PR. The wind in the home stretch was pretty tough, and you could ask Heba about that too. She ran well, but that wind coming home was very difficult at the time, the 400, 800 crew. That's just something we haven't felt for a while. I mean, these guys haven't had to run in anything but perfect conditions in our indoor. So when you start talking about outdoor track and field and you have to deal with the elements and that wind, it does make a difference. And Prince was wide-eyed. He finished. He goes, "Man, Coach, I come around that corner, and, man, that wind was strong." And yes, it was, but everybody has to go through it, and we got to get used to that again. And for him to come out and run close to his personal best outdoors, and really his first opener. I mean, he didn't go last week, so this is his first race. Did a great job, and we look forward to seeing Prince do some big things this year.
We think so much about what these athletes do training and on the track and how physical they are, and it's 40, 48, 49 seconds and done, but there's a lot more mental going into it, too, to be able to push through elements like that.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, some of our kids will drive down, SBU, that's called 3.5 hours, wait around all day for one race that lasts 49 seconds. that's pretty tough. Luckily, Prince was able to jump on the 4x4 as well and have two races. So his whole time down there was done in under 2 minutes, and the rest of the time sitting around waiting, apprehension, anticipation, nerves for sure. He handled it well, I'm excited to see what he runs this year.
And a chance for those guys to put on that teammate hat and cheer for those others out there competing, which we always see. We're about a month away from the MIAA Outdoor Championships. The Wichita State Open's coming up this weekend. What do you hope to see out of your team as you get more and more away from the indoor and closer to the outdoor championships?
Yeah, we're a little banged up right now, so I'm looking forward to getting a healthy team. First and foremost, I'm looking forward to seeing some people open up. Right now, we look pretty light on the list, the MIAA list right now, and certainly void on the national list right now. And so I'm excited to see these guys open up in the next couple of weeks. I think we have some really interesting relays. I think both our men's and women's 4x4 will be really tough to beat. Both our men's and women's 4x1s. Women are doing really well right now, just missing out on a provisional qualifier by 0.04 seconds this weekend. And, so we're starting to see some good things happen. And I knew Heba was going to do her things. She's qualified now in the 400. Last week, 200. She's still sitting like 7th or 8th in the country in the 2. The 400 this weekend, I think she's number 2 right now in the country with that very strong headwind. So we're looking to find a meet where she can run, with not quite so much wind to see what she really can do in the 400. But, it's going to be fun the next couple of weeks when we start seeing a little bit more of our team start competing.
Coach Masters, we appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend in the Wichita State Open.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Brandon Masters, Northwest Missouri State Head Track and Field Coach. We will take a timeout and be back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com. Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Northwest Missouri State Volleyball, 10-2 on the season, 4-2 in MIAA play, coming up on the final week of the regular season. We have head coach Amy Wirth joining us now. And Coach Wirth, before we get into this upcoming week with Hayes and UNK coming into Maryville, looking at the previous week, and it starts out senior night, Park University, you take them down in 3 straight sets. First off, for Morgan and Bethany, that had to be a great night to be able to come out, get honored. It's been such a bizarre year, but honestly, a couple players that have helped Northwest Missouri State continue to climb to that top tier of the MIAA.
Yeah, it was fun to be able to have that for them and to be able to do it in the fashion that we did from the standpoint of not making it a game. And the thing that we always have done through the years is through our growth is you always want to set the standard when you play against teams, and I thought we did a good job setting the standard against them and being able to get that done in 3. So, again, great honor to be able to honor our seniors and get them a win in that night.
A top 25 team against an NAIA team, you expect it to be well in hand. But this is the number 2 team in the NAIA. They're obviously very talented, and they've been good for quite a while.
Yeah.
To come out and just completely dismantle them, set scores of 25-16, 25-11, 25-12. I mean, goodness, you really took it to the Pirates.
The word on the street is they didn't have two of their best players, that they were sick. But, hey, sometimes those things happen. And regardless of that, like setting that bar, like I was talking about, is something that earlier in my career we didn't do a very good job of, and we would play to the level of them. So, again, it's just showing the growth that we've developed over the years for sure in our program.
It's the funny thing, too, in sports is sometimes you see situations like that and players that have no business rise to the occasion and mm-hmm. keep their team in it or playing down to the level of the other competition. Mm-hmm. It's something that just did not happen at all last Tuesday. More importantly, though, against Missouri Western over the weekend, going to St. Joe, taking down the Griffins, six sets against them. You take all six throughout this spring season that we've had. That's big. MIAA play, knocking off your rival once again.
Anytime you can do that, that's a good day. And, you know, since 2012, I probably said this the last time, but since 2012, we were 8-9 at the beginning of this two matches. So then we got it up to 9-9, and now we're 10-9. So from that standpoint, we're above them on the rival piece since 2012, which I think is where we really need to focus our time frame as far as the history of it. But I think it's been awesome that we have really built the last 3 or 4 years, been able to sweep them a lot of the times during that time frame, where before it was always a home and away. Someone would win, you know, we'd both win at home. And so from that standpoint, you can see us kind of turning a corner mentally against Missouri Western, which I think is a really good to say, you know, testament to our girls and how much work and commitment they've put in and the consistency that has been happening over here since 2012.
Jaden Ferguson was very good against Missouri Western. The entire week she had 24 kills in back-to-back games there total. But what she bring to the table, another underclassman for the Bearcats.
Yeah, we switched up our lineup a little bit and had her start playing six rotations. And one of the main reasons was that the energy she brings on the court is, you know, when you have players, sometimes you're like, I just don't want to take them off the court. And she's one of those players. And I think it's been amazing to see how that has helped her offensive play. I know she's been playing six rotations, so now she's playing defense. But it's actually, sometimes that adds a little too much to someone's plate, but it's actually helped her out offensively. And since that time frame, our team has gotten better and better and better, too. And I think it has to do with her energy that she brings to the court, and that energy never comes off. And that energy has also helped propel herself offensively, and she's been taking it up another notch and consistently staying there. So I think that's a really good sign for the future for her, too.
Is that something that she brings in practice that you're like, all right, now we need to kind of push her over the top, or is it just giving her that opportunity within the match?
Yeah, we saw some of it in practice, and, you know, consistency is always a big thing, and that's sometimes hard to see in college because, you know, these 4 years you're growing so much, sometimes you don't know who you are in that growth and that time frame because you're just growing and changing and thinking about a future and improving yourself on the volleyball court and proving yourself off the court, and sometimes you kind of lose yourself in translation there. And so whenever you see consistency every day in practice, I think that speaks volumes to a person and this, you know, how they feel comfortable in their skin. And she's definitely been doing that in practice as well, just from the standpoint of the energy that she's bringing and then how she's playing at the level in practice. It all started in practice, and that's where we've really noticed it.
This upcoming weekend, starting off, Fort Hays State, you've already been out to Hays and beat them once. How do you come out and duplicate those results like we've seen throughout much of your matches throughout this year in the MIAA?
Yeah, we're going to have to serve and pass well. They are one of the better passing teams in the conference. They're above two. And so if they can pass at a high level and control their side at a high level, then their offense can really get going, and they try to run things quickly. And those always tend to be a challenge for teams to block against, is anything that makes you go fast. So for us to set up our defense, we need to take out some of their go-tos by way of elimination, you know, just by getting them out of system when it comes to the serving side and understanding how many options. We don't want them to have all three options. We'd rather have them have one option, so then we can set up our defense and understand what they're going to do a little bit more higher level and take some of the variables out. So we're definitely going to have to serve and pass at a high level, and then offensively our offense is definitely going to have to show up from that standpoint to be able to overwhelm them like we have.
Is a lot of that, whenever you talk about how well they are at passing and moving the ball and kind of controlling their side, is it whenever you're a spike of serve, whatever it is, of, all right, we have to put the ball in this spot, this spot, mm-hmm. this spot, and really controlling that placement?
Yeah, you have to control that placement. And even more so, you have to control where you're serving at a person. And so if you can clearly serve in certain areas that we know they're not very good at passing at, then that gives us the advantage. So it's those small things, and then it's a lot of the time they're running a 6-2, so it's hitting to right back, and that's where your back row setter is. So then you're not able to be in system as much because your setter's not setting an off person setting the ball. So there's a lot of tricks of the trade that you can figure out to get them out of system. But yeah, serving and passing is going to be a big one, just to make sure that we're not allowing them to run their fast offense.
A lot of eyes, I think, from the fan standpoint is on Saturday in Nebraska Kearney. Mm-hmm. You talk about Hayes and the talent there. Is it easy to allow within the Bearcat locker room to not overlook Fort Hayes, to not allow that to be a trap game?
We're not going to allow it to be a trap game, just from the standpoint of what we'll do to prepare for Hayes. They took a set away from Nebraska Kearney, which I don't know if that's happened in the recent in the recent history of them playing. So that got our eye on them a little, even more of how did they do that, because we didn't even do that from the standpoint of, we lost by 6 total points the last time we played them. So I think anytime you can learn from an opponent, I think hopefully you can use that to your advantage. But yeah, it doesn't need to be a trap. It can be a trap game, but it needs to be something that we definitely come out and take care of business with.
You mentioned last time you played Kearney, lost by 6 total points. Mm-hmm. Literally couldn't be closer. Mm-hmm. What has to happen for Northwest to get over the hump?
Yeah, I think we've got to serve aggressive. We've got to get them out of system. They're so good in offense, and then they're also really good dig to kill. So whenever we hit the ball, they're controlling the defensive side of it so well. And that really takes the wind out of your sails when you get a really nice swing and they take that ball, they control it, and then they put it down your throat again, from the standpoint of, being able to control their side so much that it just, again, takes the wind out of your sails. So from our standpoint, we've got to serve really well, pass really well. And again, just our offense has got to show up in our defense. We're going to have to play a complete game to be able to get them where we need. But we got to take a set off of them. That's the very first thing we got to do, is how can we take a set off of them and then let the game develop from there. But that's our number one goal, is process of getting a set away from Kearney. It doesn't mean that I'm saying we can't win, because we can. It's just we got to have baby steps first to be able to get our heads wrapped around a set that we're going to take away from them, and then get our feet underneath us and go from there.
Start small, build that confidence,
Absolutely. Go
from there.
Absolutely.
The MIAA tournament's the following week. Is there any more stress and weight put on UNK with the regular season ending, or is it we have to treat this like a match and be ready for the postseason?
I mean, we all make it to the postseason conference tournament, but it's also something we haven't done. We have never beat Nebraska Kearney since I've been here. So this is on my bucket list that will happen over and over and over again. So I guess that's not a bucket list. That's a yearly list of a to-do that we need to start getting done more and more. They're one of the teams that we haven't beat. Central Oklahoma is another team that we haven't been since I've been here. But from the standpoint of understanding, this is a match that's going to be a really fun match to play in our gym. My goodness. I mean, I would just invite people to come out and see some really high volleyball. It's two of the best conference schools in MIAA that's going to be playing a really meaningful game, from the standpoint of them staying where they are, and for us to, get to the second. We would take second place all on our own. So from that standpoint, I think it's a big one for us, and we need to get after it. Even though we have the MIAA conference tournament, it's just something that's going to help our seed.
Chance for a fun weekend here at Northwest Missouri State. Bearcat volleyball against Fort Hayes on Friday, and Nebraska Kearney here at home coming up on Saturday. Coach Wirth, appreciate the time, and look forward to talking with you again next week after a couple W's, all right?
All right, thank you.
Coach Wirth joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We will take a timeout and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Baumley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we're talking now with that coach of the Northwest soccer team, Mark Gordon. And Mark, let's just talk a little bit about this weekend, this past weekend for you. A couple of matches. First of all, tough loss to Central Missouri on a Friday, a 3-0 loss there. And just kind of talk about some of the things that came out of that match and maybe some differences between the first meeting with Central.
Wow. I think we came out a little bit slow and just some miscommunication early on a goal. I don't know if the score was really indicative of the game, but they cashed in on their opportunities. Had a set piece early in the second half, and just came out quick in the second half, and just trying to catch up with the game. And I felt like we had some opportunities, and I don't know if information overload the last 3 weeks for me and the kids just trying to process and implement and put things in. And I just don't think we played with the freedom that we did the first game. So some of it, you try and evaluate yourself and the things you've covered. And from the weekend, that kind of sticks out to me as the coach, that they just didn't play open and as free as I felt like they did the first time.
Is a lot of that just the way the schedule's been, where you've had some off time in between some games there, where it takes a little bit to get back just into the game competition there?
I don't want to make excuses for us, but yeah, it was a big layoff, and it was I was trying to find something in between and hoped we could maybe land a match, and we had something early canceled and thought maybe we'd be able to reschedule that one, but it just didn't work out, and so we took advantage of the opportunity to try and train and learn some new things and add some different pieces to the game. Like I said, I don't know if it was just too much, and I made things too complex for us, and just want to make sure that we can move forward, go back to the simple things.
And after that, another match on a Sunday. It looks like it really was a heck of a battle there. 1-0 loss to Emporia State. Just talk about that matchup with Hornets and the type of battle that was for the two teams.
Very, very physical, direct style of play from the opponent. Really relied on a long thrower that they have. So anytime there was a throw-in, in our defensive third, it was almost like another corner kick for them. High winds, similar to the other, but both teams were in that, and again gave up the goal in the first 20 minutes, and then proceeded. It was a pretty evenly contested, I felt like, and just didn't shoot when we should have shot the ball, and I think overthinking some things. And again, I got to go back to stuff we covered and things that I've done with the team. I want the players to know, we get in the final third, they need to have that freedom and creativity to create their opportunities and take chances. Not going to be mad for taking a shot and it missing than not getting a shot off at all. So,
and one thing you touched about too that I guess just indicative of springtime in Northwest Missouri is just the winds. It might maybe something you have to deal with more during this season, maybe in the fall. I don't know how. I think probably the spring winds probably a little worse than what you get during the fall season.
It is for sure. Your approach is different in each half when the winds are blowing the way they are, so you know you get the extra man for a half and.
Right now, standing at 1-2-1 on the year, what's been the biggest things that have really come out of the spring season for you?
The growth of the team together. I think, you know, the opportunity to see our freshmen, the number of freshmen, and the minutes they're putting in, and just glimpses of freshman errors at times, but you know, the ability to take information and try to apply it, but again, too much information can be too much. I think you know we're able to move some folks around. You know, in a normal season, you're trying to establish where you're going to fall at in the standings and working to get in postseason. And there's a little more freedom to put players into situations and game related situations and give them the opportunity to prove themselves and that they can perform the activity and be successful where we have them on the field, and being able to move some players around and do some different things. So without the pressures of that, you know, of course we're trying to compete and win games and so forth, but I do like the ability to give more players more time on the field in a match situation.
I would imagine too this is going to be something that you'll see play dividends when you get back such a short time turnaround this year with the fall season coming around the corner there, that what you're doing this spring will have to definitely help out when you get ready for next season.
You know, I think it'll be a big benefit to the team in terms of how we move forward. You know, we've played multiple different shapes in terms of attacking, or if we need to beef up the defense or the midfield, and play, you know, more within the midfield and just their ability to apply and adapt some of our team shape things has definitely paid some dividends. And I think with the new group coming in, you have more numbers that can upperclassmen that can kind of guide them, take them under their wing, and know what I'm asking and what we're trying to get out of different activities and training methods is definitely going to pay off, I think.
Well, this upcoming weekend, another opportunity for fans to get out and watch the Northwest soccer with a couple of games coming up out at the Bearcat pitch. And let's just talk about first Missouri Western on Friday at 3 o'clock start there as you face the Griffins again. And just talk about what you're looking for this time around.
Well, hopefully we can score some goals for everybody, right? From my standpoint, there was a lot of good play, kind of contradicting styles. It'll be interesting to see how they play coming in. I think they've, with their new coach and staff, they've started to have some success and doing some things pretty well. You know, so depending on how they're going to play will determine the things that we'll do. I'm anticipating the game to be a little more open than the last game as they've adjusted to the new coach and just starting to have more matches. You get to start to see some more strengths and weaknesses within your own team and know what they're capable of.
Then after that, you've got a Sunday match coming up at 1 o'clock with Western.
Yep. Washburn will be a tough one as well. I think that, you know, they move the ball really well. They have some new players in their attack, always very defensively organized, and a solid goalkeeper. So we'll have two really good matches this week, and should be good for fans if they want to get out and come see some soccer.
And hopefully a little bit less wind this weekend, too.
Hopefully.
Of course, that's never a given around here. That's
no,
for sure.
No, not this time of year.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us on the show.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's soccer coach Mark Gordon with us on the Northwest Missouri State Coaches Show. We'll be back and have more right after this on KXCV KRNW.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgro seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family with a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Information available at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at PizzaRanch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Time to turn our attention to baseball as the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, is with us. And Darren, a good weekend overall for your team, taking two out of three from Missouri Western, as we were mentioning a little bit earlier before we went on. You win the first two, you get a little bit greedy and want that last one, but still, go into a weekend and win two out of three games against an MIAA opponent, you have to feel good about that.
Yeah, I think we feel good about that. You know, anytime you can take two out of three in conference play, you know, it's a good weekend. It's kind of all in your perspective. What, you know, you go out and lose game one and win the next two, you feel really good about yourself. But, you know, you lose that last game, especially how well we played on day one and then came out and, you know, maybe didn't play up to the level that we did in game one or in two. In that third game was a little disappointing. But, again, it's all in your perspective. And again, two big wins in a weekend is a good weekend.
And against Missouri Western, let's just talk about the first two games, that doubleheader on Friday, 6-4 win in game one and an 8-4 win in game two. And what were some of the main things you felt that came out of those two games?
You know, I think looking at the weekend, we were a little bit of a bind because we knew Spencer Hansen had a little bit of a back injury. He's our game three starter, has been logging a lot of great innings for us, and we knew we were going to be short on game three, so we were going to have to, you know, go to the bullpen and use some of those guys that haven't been maybe throwing a lot of innings for us. And then last pitch of inning number one, Max Spitzmiller, who's been our leadoff guy, slightly pulled a muscle in his shoulder. Not a serious injury, but he goes out after the first inning. So we had to go to the bullpen even earlier than we wanted to. But I felt like those guys really stepped up. Phil Brenneman gave us 4 1/3 really quality innings in the middle after Spitz went out of the game. You know, it just gave us a really good hold right there. And then a couple other guys came out and really threw the ball well and got us through that game. So really felt like this weekend was an opportunity for our bullpen to shine, and they did, especially in game one and game two. Game three, I think they got a little wore out just because of the innings that they had to log on the previous day.
When you look at game three, it looked like one of the big things offensively was just you're getting hits with two out, but just couldn't get the big two-out hit at that point and get rally started early in an inning that time, where a lot of what you had going just came with two outs a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think we had one leadoff hitter on, had an opportunity for a big inning. I think we were down three at the time, had one leadoff hitter get a base hit, and then got a walk and a hit by pitch. We had bases loaded with one out. Unfortunately, hit into a double play, Hit the ball hard right out of infielder. They did a great job of turning the double play. So we get something out of that. You know, get a run, get two runs out of that. I think it's probably a different ball game, at least momentum-wise. And then I think our next four hits were all two-out hits. You know, and their pitchers did a good job. They didn't give us any freebies. They didn't give us any walks, any hit-by-pitch. So, you know, we'd get guys on. But, you know, as you know, when you get a runner on, first with two outs, we didn't really break momentum in those situations because, you know, their feeling is we still need two base hits to score them. And, you know, the way the game was flowing, it didn't look like that was going to happen. So just got to start a little bit more, get going a little bit earlier in those innings, a little bit earlier in the game as we did in day one, and just, you know, put up a little bit more fight early in the game.
You know, we talked with Coach Gordon just a little bit ago about soccer playing in the spring, and they're seeing a lot more wind springtime than what they normally get in the fall time. But as far as you guys go, I know you're kind of accustomed to the wind in Northwest Missouri playing spring ball here, but it seemed like this past weekend the wind was just especially tough. And what kind of factor did that play in the games?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 weeks, boy, it's blowing harder in Maryville. I don't know if I can – you know, remember two weeks with more wind than we've had in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, on day one, we had a wind blowing in, basically straight in from center field, and, you know, maybe helped us a little bit. Some of their fly balls held up. We were able to get line drives, find some holes in day one. Second day, wind's blown out to left a little bit. You know, they took advantage and hit a couple balls out. We weren't able to hit those balls out. So, you know, I'm ready for some warm, sunshiny days, and hopefully the wind lays down a little bit. So, you know, it's a true baseball game.
Well, just talk about where you're at right now on the season. Again, you still got quite a bit of baseball left to be played. But what's been the biggest things that have come out of the schedule up to this point for you?
You know, I think we've continued to improve. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, coming off the COVID year and not being able to practice last year, having a lot of unknowns, especially on the pitching staff, you know, that I think that's the biggest thing for us is, you know, when we recruited a lot of these guys that are a lot of them coming out of the bullpen. We got Zach Weiss in the starting rotation, but when we recruited these guys, we weren't able to see them last year in the COVID year. You weren't able to leave campus and go, you know, see them pitch. We didn't have any hard numbers on them, so a lot of those things were unknown, and we're kind of finding those things out now. But you know, fortunately, those guys are continuing to improve and step up and get the job done, and hopefully continue to do that, you know, for the remainder of the season.
Now, this week you've got what should be a busy schedule. We'll just see how the weather holds out, in particular with the non-conference game, a trip to Ottawa, Kansas to face the Ottawa Braves. And if you can get that game in, again, that's scheduled for Wednesday. What are some of the main things you try to look for in the midweek games that are non-conference this season?
You know, I think those games are really big for the pitching staff. You know, just trying to identify one or two more guys we can bring out of the pen, guys that, you know, aren't going to give any freebies, not going to walk guys, going to give you an opportunity to win, fill up the strike zone, throw a breaking ball for strike. So, you know, that's where not having those midweek games has kind of hurt us lately. We had one against Washburn, got an opportunity to see some guys, you know, specifically Phil Brenneman at Washburn. That's why we called his name this past weekend, and he gives us a solid outing. So we'll continue to do that this weekend, probably a lot of one- or two-inning guys throughout that game. And then just, you know, quality of bats. You know, just I feel like the more pitches you can see, the more game-like situations you can be in, you know, that's just going to help you on the weekends and down the road.
After that, a trip down to Edmond, Oklahoma for a three-game series with the Broncos, and that's an opportunity to maybe make up a little ground against a team that's directly in front of you in the MIAA standing. Central Oak right now, fifth place, Northwest tied for sixth in the standings, so it looks like a pretty big weekend coming up for you.
Yeah, I think they're all big weekends, but at the same time, you know, you kind of look at the people that are around you. You know, it's not saying that we're equal or anything like that. We all know that everybody in the MIAA is going to be good enough to beat you. But, you know, just hope to go down there, focus on game one, and play a quality game. I think we are talented enough to go down and compete with anybody. Now we just got to turn the tables a little bit and make sure, you know, when we have an opportunity to win a game, we got to get the win when we can.
And how much of a factor right now is still is just doing what you guys want to do as far as going up against some of these opponents that you've got on the schedule, where if you just go out and play your type of game that you feel like good things should happen for you?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. When we fight for momentum and we get that in our dugout, I think we're pretty good. When we're not able to do that, you know, that's when we're pretty average. So, got to get some leadoff runners on. We got to, you know, have some clean innings defensively and on the mound, and you know that changes that momentum, that complexity of that game a lot. You know, we need to continue fighting for those innings.
What do you see out of Central Oklahoma right now as you go into the weekend?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is just from what we've known in the past, they're going to be a big physical offensive team. They're going to have quality arms. They have a lot of, you know, Division I kickbacks, a lot of junior college transfers, so they're going to be extremely talented. John does a good job with them, always has them coached up really well. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, especially after a six-hour road trip down there. You know, it's a beautiful complex that they've built down there. So, you know, it'll be a challenge, but we better learn how to play on the road because our next 11 out of 12 are on the road. So, you know, we better get accustomed to it and better get good at it early.
All right. Well, Darren, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John.
That's Darren Lowe, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat baseball team. We'll be back and have more as we'll talk tennis after this on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Grow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, Sure Grow has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on Sure Grow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Time now to turn our attention to tennis as the head coach of the Northwest Men's and Women's Tennis Programs, Mark Rosewell, joining us. And Mark had a trip down to Oklahoma, an overall pretty successful trip for both of your teams. First of all, the Northwest Men went over southeastern Oklahoma State. You go in ranked 23rd nationally, and you have a 4-3 win there. And, again, able to keep some things rolling on the men's side.
Yeah, actually, first of all, we played Rockers at the Plaza on the trip, and we won that match 7-0. And then we played Southeastern, which was a quality win for sure.
And just talk about, again, going down and playing Southeastern. Again, it looks like a lot of these matches you've been able to pull out some pretty close matches, too, where you're coming up with some big wins at some spots on your team.
Yeah, that was a 4-3 match in the old days, 5-4 match. But that's a match, as you well know, that can go either way. They beat us last year 4-0, and they got an outstanding team. So really felt like that was a quality win. And Andrea, you know, that the guy he beat 2-2 or whatever the score was, he was the best player in our region in All-American last year in singles. So that's a good sign for us.
And because of that win, Andrea Zamuri picks up this week's MIAA Men's Tennis Athlete of the Week. So, again, having all of your players being honored with that weekly award.
Yeah, that's very nice and well-deserving, no doubt about it.
And as a team, now on the men's side, 5 straight match wins.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a big one Sunday with Southern Arkansas, a team that defeated us last year, 2-4-3 in a close match. We lost a lot of matches 4-3 last year. were a little bit stronger this year, needed to go out and get out one more really quality player, which I think we've done, and now we're winning those 4-3 matches.
Yeah, it makes a difference what one player can do for a team.
Oh, boy, doubles too, yeah.
Well, and really when you look at the season overall, again, on the men's side, you're picking up some wins and getting some conference wins against some teams that perhaps people are shaking their head. They're in the MIAA, but on the tennis side, you've had an opportunity to add a few teams to make sure that the men have an opportunity to play some a decent conference schedule this year with some teams down south joining the conference.
Yeah, it's a lot different. It's a little, you know, it's a little difficult to follow because we're not used to the Arkansas schools, Wichita Baptist and Harding, Southern Arkansas, Southeast Oklahoma, Oklahoma Baptist, you know, they've always been in the region, but and we've played them anyway. But now Mike Racy did a fantastic job of keeping it going for men's tennis. And so we have a North division and a Southern division. And, of course, we're with the traditional schools like Emporia and Washburn and Newman.
Now, you talked about Southern Arkansas coming up. That match will actually be played in Topeka on Sunday. Just talk about matching up with Southern Arkansas and what you know out of that team.
Well, I know after playing them last year, that's a new program. It only started 2 or 3 years ago, but they did it right. And, you know, they funded them with the scholarships and wonderful courts down there. Got a good coach. I really think both men and women, it's probably going to be a 4-3 match either way. So it's going to be really close.
Before we talk about the women and also what's coming up in the next week, I have one question for you. Is how did you schedule a match on the Royals opening day this year? And you normally, some mysteriously, always have that day open, and it looks like you had a match coming up this past week.
John, honestly, I just kind of forgot about it since we didn't have baseball last year, and I was thinking no fans were going to be allowed to come anyway, but that's first time in many, many years, no doubt about it. But, yeah, that's a good point. We'll have to get down there and see them sometime.
Yeah, I guess the nice thing is you're able to pick up a win on that day, though.
Yeah, that's right. So it worked out okay, and we listened a little bit of it on the radio.
Now, as far as the women go, that trip down to Oklahoma, a tough loss against a very good Central Oklahoma team. They're ranked fifth nationally, and overall, how bad match to go? Again, a 7-0 is a tough score, but sometimes that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story in a match.
Yeah, you know, we had maybe three setters, and we just happened to win all those. And you know, we're talking about Rockers, right?
Well, I was talking about Central Oklahoma. We'll go to the Rockers first.
Oh, Central losing 7-0.
Yeah.
Well, they've got an outstanding team. They're top five in the country. It's the best team, maybe the best team in the MIAA ever. They're very, very good. It didn't help us that our number one wasn't able to play, so we had to push them up and so forth. But they still beat us pretty bad.
Well, let's go to that Rockers match and just talk about how that turned out for you.
Well, that's a little bit more pleasant because we had the 7 and they had the 0. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, we hadn't played Rockers in, I don't know, close to 10 years or whatever. And the last time we played them, we beat them 9-0. But, again, it was the same thing. We had three or four three-setters. We just happened to win all those three-setters. So it looked like a lot worse than what it really was. And that's kind of what happened this time. We had a couple three-setters, too, and we happened to win those. So we ended up winning the match, you know, decisively.
Well, then as you look ahead toward this week for your women, moving up one of the matches to today, this being airing on Tuesday, where you're facing a Missouri Western team, a 3 o'clock start at the Mark Rosewell Tennis Center on the Northwest campus. Missouri Western, a team that you've had a little success with over the years, winning 36 straight matches coming into today's action.
Yeah, but that's a whole different team this year, John. They have got a good team. They really do. And it's going to be a close match. I really think it's going to be 4-3 either way. Now, we're fortunate that we're playing it at home. I think that'll help us a little bit. But, you know, we shall see. But if you want to see some good tennis, I think that's our last home match. Tomorrow would be the time to come. It's going to be outstanding tennis out there.
Yeah, and again, that's unfortunate that it's an early portion of April, but still just the last home match for them. But, again, it would be a great match for people to come out and watch.
It would indeed. And, I mean, who else would you want to see but the Cats playing Missouri Western, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And overall, as you look at where both of your teams are right now, obviously on the men's side, you have to feel very good with the way they're playing. And on the women, as we talked about in the past, a young team, but it looks like they're showing a lot of progress for you.
Yeah. You know, we're ninth. We're ranked in the region, and I hopefully moving up after a couple regional wins with Northeastern and Southeastern this past weekend. Of course, Missouri Western's another good match tomorrow. So, you know, seven freshmen. I know I keep saying that, but it is seven freshmen, and it's experience on the job training. But we're getting a little better each match.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us here.
All right, John.
Once again, that's Mark Rosewell, Northwest Missouri State head tennis coach, as his Bearcat women's tennis team taking on Missouri Western at home this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And getting underway at 1 o'clock, Northwest Missouri State softball at home taking on Central Missouri. That's a doubleheader, a 1 o'clock first pitch and a 3 o'clock first pitch for game two. Also today, Northwest Missouri State women's golf is in Newton, Kansas for the Newman Invitational. So a lot going on here with our spring sports this afternoon. But that's going to wrap things up for us for today's KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. You can catch our old episodes online at kxcv.org. Be sure to check us out once again next Tuesday at noon right here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.